Well, good afternoon and welcome to VCY America's Homefront program. I'm Jelaine Appling, president of Wisconsin Family Council and host of Homefront, and I'm joined by Micah Pierce, our executive vice president. Wisconsin Family Council is a statewide organization whose mission is to strengthen, preserve, and promote God's plan for marriage and family, the sanctity of human life, and religious freedom in our great state. Every Wednesday at this time, we talk about these issues and the impact they have on you and your family right on your home front. Micah, what are we talking about today?
Lots to cover today, but first let's talk about where we'll be in the state. Tomorrow we'll be in Kenosha for our next community event.
Well, you know, Micah, we've named these events Your Backyard, Own It. This is what we know. If we don't take responsibility for right where we live, others will, and they will do things that are they'll do things in those decision-making seats that too often don't reflect our beliefs and values and certainly won't be in the best interest of the community overall. And in an election year, it's critically important that we understand this. In this event, we're going to talk about really practical things that ordinary citizens can do right now and as we go through this election year that will help them own their backyard. And we're going to talk about ways they can make a really positive difference right where they live, a difference that's going to last far beyond today.
Our next Your Backyard, Own It event will be in Kenosha tomorrow, February 24th at Birchwood Grill from 6 to 8 p.m. After that, next week on Thursday, March 3rd, we'll be in Sun Prairie from 6 to 8 at the Pizza Ranch there. And on Thursday, March 10th, we'll be in Waupun from 6 to 8 at their Pizza Ranch. Looking a little further into the future, we'll be in Marshfield on March 24th, Manitowoc on March 31st, Baraboo on April 7th, Burlington on April 12th, and Janesville on April 21st. Dinner is provided and there's no cost to attend any of these events. However, we will take a free will offering. For more details and to register for an event, call 888-378-7395. That's 888-378-7395 or visit wifamilycouncil.org. From the expanded menu on the top right, click events and then select the appropriate event. So let's move on to a story that I find just incredibly interesting. Joe Biden has been pushing $200 million for federally funded early childhood pre-K as a part of his Build Back Better plan, meaning that liberals want your children out of your home and into their government training centers as early as 3 years old. They would do it earlier if they could find a justification. But on that note, a recent statewide study out of Tennessee showed that kids put into government-funded pre-K did worse, far worse, both in terms of behavior and academics. Jelaine, what can we learn from this study?
Well, Micah, maybe nothing we didn't already know, but it certainly is nice to have some more hard data to back us up. This study tracked Tennessee children from low-income families who applied for state-funded pre-K in 2009 and 2010, and the kids were chosen on a lottery system, meaning that some kids got in, some didn't. Those not chosen mostly received care at home for those early childhood years instead of being part of a pre-K program. So this gave us two groups of students to study, and Vanderbilt University did just that. Here's what they found. By the time the kids reached sixth grade, the group who had received pre-pre-K not only received worse test scores across all subjects, but were 48% more likely to have behavior problems and 75% more likely to be diagnosed with a learning disorder. Now, these are startling numbers. This study tells us that students who spend their formative years with their parents, on average, do better. A great many other studies show the same thing, that children who spend time with both parents in those early years especially do better. This isn't rocket science. We've said it before and we'll keep saying it. God entrusts children to their parents, and parents are in charge of making the best decision for their child. When government comes in to incentivize what it thinks is best for your child, usually it's the kids who suffer first. Like you said, Micah, right now, Biden is pushing $200 million of our tax money towards putting more of our youngest children at risk.
Why do you think it is that liberals have this push to get kids into school as young as possible and to keep them there as long as possible?
Well, that's an interesting take. I have a real life experience story on this. When I was on the school board in Watertown, one of my last assignments was to be the school board representative on a task force looking at adding K-4 to the Watertown Public School program. At some point in the meeting, after I heard from county and other local representatives pushing the program, I said, "So basically, you'd like to take the children from the hospital and have the state be the parent?" I didn't get much pushback from any of the supporters. They believe, Micah, in what they're doing, and it comes down, as does most everything, to worldview. If you remove God from your worldview, government then becomes God, and children belong to government. They then feel that the government can do whatever it wants with its property, and parents, quite frankly, are just in the way. There is more to the worldview, of course, but we don't have time to dive into Enlightenment philosophy today. Suffice it to say that there are ideological reasons that liberals are opposing all of the education reforms, for instance, that are being proposed in our state legislature right now. Whether it's universal school choice, the Parents' Bill of Rights, or even greater curriculum transparency.
You know, I've been doing some learning about how communist China is currently trying to subjugate Tibet. Tibet says Tibet owns Tibet, and China says, no, we own Tibet. But one of the main ways they do it is they take children away from their parents as early and as much as possible, and they put them in government schools. But speaking of schools, let's talk about Wisconsin's school choice options. You just alluded to Assembly Bill 970, so AB 970 would expand school choice here in Wisconsin.
Mike, I'm willing to take any opportunity to talk about school choice here in Wisconsin. Part of our school choice options here in Wisconsin is the voucher program. These vouchers attach funding dollars directly to the student and allow income-qualified families to use these funding dollars to attend a private school that's participating in that program. That includes religious private schools in our state. The more than 86,000 choice students in our state are more likely to graduate, more likely to attend college, and they test higher proficiency in reading and math. Wisconsin has three parental choice programs, which are the voucher programs. The Milwaukee and Racine parental choice programs, which cover those two areas, and then the Wisconsin parental choice program that covers the rest of the state. Right now, like I said, these vouchers are income qualified, meaning depending on how much you make and where you live and how many dependent children you have, you may or may not qualify. We also have an enrollment cap on the statewide program. Assembly Bill 970 is proposing to eliminate the income qualifications and remove the enrollment caps on the statewide program, meaning that this educational opportunity would be open to all of Wisconsin families.
Do you expect this bill to make it to the governor's desk?
I expect it will. It passed yesterday in the state assembly, and today the Senate is having a hearing on this bill. I assume the Senate will take it up and pass it in the next week or so, but I also fully expect Tony Evers will veto AB 970 as soon as he can. He has yet to do a single thing to cross the teachers' union, but a great many listeners to this program will have kids and grandkids that qualify for the voucher program already. So let's go over how parents can learn more about the parental choice program.
I'm happy to do that. Applications for school choice in Wisconsin opened earlier this month and run through April 21st. Full information about these choices is available at dpi.wi.gov. That's dpi.wi.gov. Just click on Families and Students on the top menu bar and then select Programs and Initiatives in the drop-down menu. And then click School Choice on the left side bar. If you want to learn more about school choice in Wisconsin, a great resource for parents who want to learn more is schoolchoicewi.org. That's schoolchoicewi.org.
You know, Micah, we can't leave this subject without mentioning homeschooling. Wisconsin has one of the best homeschool laws in the country. It hasn't changed since it was put there in 1983. For many families, this is the ideal option that allows for parents to pursue the very best in values-based education for their children while also tailoring their kids' academic pursuits.
You know, Jelaine, I was actually homeschooled myself, and just last week I was talking with a group of homeschool moms about what they are doing for their kids, and it was just so interesting. Each mother knew the ins and outs of how their children learned, more than any teacher ever could, and because of this, they were able to custom fit their child's education. And it really drove home to me that parents, as a rule, always have and always will know what's best for their kids, not the government. But let's take a look at some other legislative activity. There's lots of it right now. Yesterday, the Senate and the Assembly were on the floor, and the Senate had over 80 bills and resolutions it voted on, and the Assembly had over 60. Very full days. The Senate was on the floor quite late, which is unusual. And if that happens, it's typically the Assembly because they have three times the number of members. Jelaine, what are some of the bills that the legislature dealt with yesterday as they rushed to get home by March 12th?
Well, for starters, the Senate took up a number of election reform bills, all of which passed. I suspect the Assembly will take those up either later this week or early next week. The Senate also considered two bills dealing with critical race theory. Senate Bill 409 would prohibit anti-racism and anti-sexism student instruction and anti-racism and anti-sexism training for employees at the University of Wisconsin system and the technical college system. The bill went immediately to the Assembly and was passed there yesterday as well. Both votes were on strict party lines. In the assembly, many of the bills were dealing with education reform in some way, in addition to AB 970 that we've already mentioned. For instance, the assembly passed Assembly Bill 963, which is known as the Parents' Bill of Rights, and it lays out 15 distinct rights parents have regarding their children. It gives parents a cause of action to bring a lawsuit, and also notes that these are not all the inalienable rights parents have. Many of those rights were related to schools, including the right of parents to determine the names and pronouns school officials are to use for their children. So both houses passed a bill yesterday that says if any University of Wisconsin system institution requires that core general education courses include a course in diversity or ethnic studies, this requirement can be satisfied by a student's successful completion of a course in, get this, the U.S. Constitution, including the Bill of Rights. I find that amazing. As you can imagine, this bill had some interesting floor exchanges yesterday, Micah. We anticipate that at least the Assembly will be on the floor again this week and maybe the Senate. This is a crazy time in the session where there's this mad-paced effort to get all these bills introduced and acted on before they wrap up their floor sessions. Just for some perspective, as of today, the Assembly has introduced 1,061 bills since January 2021, and the Senate has introduced 1,012. Honestly, this has been a wild, wild session.
Friends, your elected officials need to hear from you on these issues. You can find your state senator and representative at legis.wisconsin.gov. That's legis.wisconsin.gov. On the homepage, just put your address in the Who Are My Legislators section. Or you can call the state's toll-free legislative hotline at 800-362-9472. Again, 800-362-9472. Or you can also call our office at 888-378-7395. That's 888-378-7395. Let's move on to cover something that Tony Evers has been up to. So Tony Evers has given Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin another $1 million in supposed COVID relief funds. Planned Parenthood is growing its abortion business, and it's the largest abortion provider in the state.
So not only is Tony Evers giving Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin $1 million this year, he's already given them another $1.4 million in COVID relief in 2020. So it's $2.4 million. Planned Parenthood is not hurting for money. That is the bottom line. So here we go, Micah. More funding for abortions here in Wisconsin. The truth is Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin spent over $700,000 in 2018 to get Tony Evers elected. So you can kind of look at these handouts as a return on investment, I guess, Micah.
Planned Parenthood supporters often defend these types of handouts, saying that this particular money won't go directly to abortions.
Well, that's a silly argument, Micah. Imagine if I handed you $1,000 and said, don't spend it on groceries. You can put that money towards your mortgage or car payment and spend your other money on groceries. Any money going to Planned Parenthood helps pad the bottom line of their abortion industry. To pretend otherwise is, quite frankly, just ridiculous.
It's important to remember that this year is an election year, and if we, the people, don't like our politicians spending our tax dollars to fund the abortion industry, that this is our best opportunity to say something about it. We're out of time for today, but if we can help you with any of the issues that we've talked about, or if you want to find out how you can support Wisconsin Family Council's efforts to strengthen, preserve, and promote our shared values, please call us at 888-378-7395 or visit us online at wifamilycouncil.org. To help us keep you better informed, please like us on Facebook and sign up for our newsletter on our website. Thanks for listening. This is Micah Pierce for Wisconsin Family Council reminding you that the prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge."